Greetings, Christian friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze coming to you with an update. We have been looking for 100 people to commit $25 a month for 1 year to support this program. We have had many people make that commitment, but we are still looking for others who want to partner with this ministry. If this program has been a blessing to you, would you prayerfully consider how you can help us? Remember, even if you cannot participate financially, prayer is always in order. Stay tuned, and our announcer will let you know how to contact us. God richly bless you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude his message titled, Holiness Must Be Intentional, from our series, How to Stay Holy in an Unholy World. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Holiness Must Be Intentional.
So that we can hurry to go to the job, so that we can hurry to get home, so that we can hurry to go to bed. And that vicious cycle just goes on and on and on and on. And we are not taking time to be holy. Brothers and sisters, take time in preparation and in practice to be holy. I'm asking a question on each one of these. And the question that I'm asking here, are you trying to keep up with the rat race, or are you spending time looking in the Savior's face? Are you trying to keep up with the rat race, or are you spending time looking in the Savior's face? What is the motivation? That's the rationalization for taking time to be holy. You know, we're trying to get along with the Lord because the world is rushing on. What is the motivation for taking time to be holy? Well, the songwriter put it like this: by looking to Jesus, like him, thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct, his likeness shall see. So, what is our motivation for taking time? Because the more I take time with Jesus, the more I look like him. You know, I said this before, right? Now, I don't own a dog, but sometimes people start looking like their dogs, right? Or the dogs start looking like the people. Right. Now, there's not a change in the dog's structure, and there's not a change in the person's structure. There's no change. But what? This is good. This is good. I think I'm going to buy this CD here, man. What's happening? Association, right? That you see the two together so much that when you see only one of them, you automatically, what, think of the other one. And so what John says in 1 John, let's look at that, 1 John, since we're already there. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, beloved, now are we the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so we need to be conforming to the image of Jesus Christ. I was sharing something with the people on Wednesday Bible study, and let me share this with you. It's a story about two men that met on the street. And one said to the other one, have you heard about Harry? He embezzled the company out of $500,000. The other man said, that's terrible. I never did trust Harry. The first man said, not only that, he left town and took Tom's wife with him. The other man said, that's awful. Harry's never been any good all of his life. The first man said, not only that, he stole a car to make his getaway. The other man said, that's scandalous. I always did think Harry had a bad streak in him. The first man said, not only that, they think he was drunk when he pulled out of town. The other man said, that no good. He said, but really, what really bothers me is who is going to teach his Sunday school class next week. See, the problem is, and I hate to say this, that some of God's people are looking less and less like Christ. You know, they're serving, they're doing things, they're representing the Lord, but they're looking less and less like him, right? Where we should be what? Looking more and more like him. Now, I know this is just a story here, but I wonder how this guy got to be a Sunday school teacher. So what is the motivation? It is so that we can be like Christ. And then in this song, he gives us several exhortations. And I'm going to kind of go through these real quick. Let me go back. The question for the motivation, the question is, are you more like Jesus now than you were last year? Are you more like Jesus now than you were last year? The exhortations to take time to be holy. Okay, well, first of all, spend time in prayer. All right, the songwriter said, take time to be holy. Speak off with our Lord. What does 1 Thessalonians 5:18 say? It says, pray without ceasing. And so if we're going to take time to be holy, that we have to spend time in prayer. One of the practices that helps in our holiness is prayer. So the question that's asked here, how much time have you spent in prayer today, yesterday, or even this past week? Come on, saints, be honest now. How much time have you spent in prayer? Now, I know that we, because I do it too. You know, I'm in my car and I'm praying as I go along, and you know, I'll be waiting, I'll be praying. So I know that there's that kind of prayer that we do, and that's good prayer. That's a good prayer. I'm not knocking that prayer, but I'm talking about how much time have we just shut aside the world and everything around us and just purpose in our heart that we're just going to get along with God and that we are going to take time and spend with him. And that's where God begins to work off those rough edges as we come to him in prayer, in that meditative, that saturated, that concentrated prayer when we get alone with him. That's when God does his best work. Now, again, he does work in our prayer. Like I said, I know when I'm driving in my car, I pray, and I know that when I'm sometimes getting ready to go into a meeting, I'm praying. So I understand that, you know, and that's good, and we need to keep doing that. But let's take it a step further and ask the question, how much time are we spending in that saturated prayer with him? We need to abide in him. He says, take time to be holy, speak off with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Jesus said that he is the vine and we are the branches, and that if we stay connected to him, we'll bring forth fruit. If you go cut a plant, the sap will ooze out of it. And the sap that oozes out of it is the sap that comes from the root. As Christians, whenever we are cut, whenever we are done wrong, whenever somebody does something to us, what's coming out of us? Is Jesus? Are you oozing Jesus? That when the world begins to cut you up, which it does every day, when the world begins to cut you up, do you ooze Jesus? See, whatever you're abiding in, when you get cut, that's what's coming out. So if you are abiding in and rooting yourself in gossip and backbiting and a bunch of immorality and a bunch of filth and a bunch of ungodliness, guess when you get cut? That's what's going to ooze out of you. But if we're spending time in prayer and in fellowship and in the presence of the Lord, that whenever somebody cuts us, guess what's going to ooze out? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. See, that's what's going to ooze out. If you are abiding in Christ, if you are hooked up to the true vine. And so the question that we ask here, are you connecting to the vine by taking time to be holy? You got to feed on his word. Take time to be holy. Speak off with our Lord. Abide in his always and feed on his word. Our physical bodies need food and water to sustain us, and so our spiritual lives. Unless we feed our spiritual lives by taking time to be holy, unless we get into the word of God and let the word of God get into us, we're going to starve. You know, how many of us would bring a baby into the world and just let that baby lay there and try to make it on his own and try to survive on his own? No, somebody got to feed that child. Why? So that the child can grow. And a lot of times people, you often wonder why sometimes people come to the Lord and they end up dying on the vine. And a lot of times it's because nobody took the time to feed them the word. Nobody took the time to nurture them. That's why we got this big thing on discipleship. Because if we're leading people to Christ, the worst thing that we can do is say, now, you know, you're saved. You just go on your way and make it the best way you can. No, my brothers and sisters, you are responsible to nurture that individual. You gave birth. What kind of mother would give birth and then let the child die? You gave birth. It's up to you to nurture. That's why Peter said, nurture with the sincere milk of the word. And then after you nurture with the sincere milk of the word, and then in Hebrews he says, then you can eat on the strong meat of the word. We have to nurture these people that are coming to Christ and his word. And in order to nurture those coming, we have to be in the word ourselves. And maybe that's the problem, is that people are seeing people all around them, relatives, everybody else. They have a spiritual interest. All of us know relatives that have had a spiritual interest, or co-workers, and that somewhere along the line they just died right on the vine. And the reason they died, because they didn't get this good word into them. And that's why Jesus, he even said himself, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. You got a fellowship with godly saints. What did the songwriter say? Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing his blessings to seek. Proverbs 13:20. Listen to this. It's right there. You can read it. Right in your notes. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Only one question that we need to ask there. Who are you fellowshipping with? As I said many times from this pulpit, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Show me who you're hanging around with. Let me see who you're with right now. And I can tell you what your future can be. You don't have to go see Miss Cleo or dial the 800 number. You just come to talk to Pastor Glaze. And I tell you your future by looking at your friends. And so as God's people, if we're going to take time to be holy, then we need to be fellowshipping with God's people. Now, you know, I realize that sometimes the saints ain't. So you just can't fellowship with every saint. Woo! You just can't fellowship with every saint. So you got to be wise in who you fellowship with, who you open up to, who you bear your soul to, who you open your heart up to. You got to be wise in how you do that. But it's important that we get around people that love God. That's not to say that we're never around the heathen, that we're never around people that are not. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying your fellowship, where you find your true joy, where you find your blessings, should be with God's people. And if I'm finding my joy and my fellowship with people who are out in the world, then it's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time before that spirit jumps on me. And let me tell you from experience that I've heard a lot and seen a lot of people, you know, been in missionary relationships, right? And they somehow got lost the call to missions, and it became a fellowship. And more often than not, when it comes to that point, guess who's going to influence who more? Guess. I've seen it. You know, people in relationships, I'm not talking about dating, I'm talking about friendships. You know, that person that's out there in the world, if you find close association with that person, they're going to influence you probably before you influence them. Now, if you can be in that relationship and you can stay focused and you can stay on point, then I would say help yourself. Go ahead with your bad self if you can do that. But a lot of saints, And I'm saying this from experience because I've seen it happen. A lot of saints lose their focus in the midst of it. The next thing you know, you don't see them anymore. You know, they wandered away. They've gone away from the faith. They've wandered away from the church. Why? Because I tell you what, man, the pull of the world is strong. And it's calling and it's beckoning and it's inviting and it looks good. Man, you know, if you can watch things on TV, the world, and if you sit there and you don't engage your mind, before you know it, it's going to suck you in. And you're going to find, why am I like this? You know, where did this come from? You know, it's just like, you know, the man that entered his mule in the Kentucky Derby. And they got the registration form, and they couldn't believe that this guy had entered a mule. And so they were just interested. So they called the guy up, and they said, man, you know that a mule has never been in the Kentucky Derby before. You know a mule can't win the Kentucky Derby. Why in the world would you send in this registration? He said, I thought the association was doing good. So you need to get around some Christian racehorses. You need to, don't hang around mules. You know, if you want to step up your game, get around some racehorses. Some people who are running this race with patience that has been put before us. He said, fellowship, make friends of God's children. All right? Be a blessing to those in need. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek. When was the last time you helped somebody in need? That's an act of holiness, by helping somebody in need. You know, we come, and sad to say, you know, we sit up here, and we bring our big Bibles, and now we bring our iPads and our iPhones and our all this other stuff, and you know we can take notes on all this stuff, and we soak up all this word, and we become these great godly saint people, you know, who are up here, you know, and we can quote verses, and we've memorized theological concepts and constructs, and we have all this down, you know, and we stick our chests out and say, man, I know it. I can go out and I can refute the atheist. I can go out and refute the skeptic. And, you know, we know all this stuff. But we wouldn't bend the knee to go help somebody in need. Sir Oliver Cromwell, when there was a shortage of currency in the British Empire, and they searched everywhere that they could to find silver because there was an emergency in the State of the Union. And after 1 month, the committee came back and said, we have searched this entire empire in vain to try to find some silver. And to our dismay, the only silver that we found was in the cathedral that was in the saints, the statues of the saints. And Cromwell said, let's melt the saints down and put them back in circulation. Let's melt the saints down and put them back in circulation. You godly, you're educated in the word. You know, you're able to quote verses, and man, you got it going on. It's all right to have peace when the water's calm. But do you have peace in the midst of the storm? Are you able to be like that bird that just sits there on that tree branch with his eyes closed and just meditation? Take time to be holy. Take time to be holy. And then we see the observation of taking time to be holy, that when you take time to be holy, it's going to be observed, right? By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends and thy conduct, his likeness shall see. What will people see when you take time with the Lord to be holy? They're going to see the reflection of Christ. When was the last time somebody remarked, man, there's something different about you? They might not have known what it was, but there's something different about you. You know, you reflect something. You remember the disciples, it said that that they took note that they had been with Jesus. They had spent time with Jesus. Are you looking more like Jesus every day? I got one more story and I'll finish. Filled with stories this morning. Filled with stories, but hopefully it's hitting home. Two cars were stopped at a light. The light turned green, but the man in front didn't notice that it turned green. And there was a lady behind him, and she was looking at all the other traffic go by. And this guy was just sitting there. So she began to pound on the steering wheel, and she started yelling at him. And she started screaming and ranting and raving and doing obscene gestures. And the light turned yellow. Now the lady is really mad. And she starts to blow her horn. And she sticks her head out the window and starts to cuss. And the man looks up and he sees the yellow light. And he goes on. And now she's stuck at the red light, fuming, angry. Y'all laughing, right? And all of a sudden, she hears a tap on her window. And she looks, and there's a police officer with a gun pointed at her. And he tells her to shut off the car and get out. And she gets out, and she's speechless. He handcuffs her. He takes her down to jail. And she's fingerprinted, photographed, searched, booked, and placed in a cell. After a couple hours, the police officer came back to where she was, and he said this. He said, "I'm really sorry for this mistake, but you see, I pulled behind you in your car while you were blowing your horn, giving obscene gestures to the guy in front of you, cussing him out, and I noticed that you had a Choose Life license plate holder and What Would Jesus Do bumper sticker and Follow Me to Sunday School, and a chrome-plated fish emblem on your trunk. So naturally, I assumed that the car was stolen." Are you becoming more like Christ every day? More like Christ. And then finally, the graduation for taking time to be holy. "Thus led by his Spirit, two fountains of love, thou soon shall be fitted for service above." Are you looking forward to the day when you want to serve God in his presence? Are you looking forward to that time when you want to serve him? And this life down here prepares us for service in eternity. Take time to be holy. The reason that I usually don't put this much information in those handouts, you know, some people have been criticizing me, saying, you need to put more in there. So I put some more in there, and the reason I put it in there, because I really hope that you would take this and just read through it and meditate on it. There's a lot of stuff to give people, and I understand that. But that you would just really understand, you know, this idea of holiness and some, this brother starts on what it means to take time to be holy.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Holiness Gives Birth to Holiness from our series, How to Stay Holy in an Unholy World. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Holiness Must Be Intentional, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Holiness Must Be Intentional. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Holiness Must Be Intentional, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.